Today's daf is daf nun vav, and we're up to the top, right at the two dots, second line. The Mishnah continued on to say, after giving us a list of all types of chisronot in a bia, gechad shege, gechad meizid, so on, and ended with the word echad ha-me'arev, echad ha-gomer, kana. This is a little bit misleading because we are not focusing on the question of Ha'ara versus Gemara Bia, which we were discussing yesterday. We're focusing back on the opening part, Shogeg, Ones, Rotzon, Mezid, and so on. And it says over there, Kana. Now that's a very strange halacha, because obviously, generally, in order to make a Kinyan, you need to have awareness of what you're doing and have intent for what you're doing. As far as the question of the way in which the bia takes place, whether it's gedarka, lo gedarka, so that really doesn't matter. Once the Torah defines the nature of an act of intercourse, what's the difference? What it is, it's all the same. Like we said yesterday, it doesn't matter. But certainly, the way that your intent is focused is a fundamental element of kinyan. So therefore, the words here are misleading. The only reason we quote the last five words is because we have to get up to that closing word, kana. And we're interested in focusing on what does kinyan mean in this sense? Is it a kinyan like any kinyan? Is it kinyan limited to issues that have to do with yibum alone? That's why we're focusing on this. Although Tosfos says there is a mashmaut in Yerushalmi, those of you who do Yerushalmi, remember yesterday we had this, that the focus here is even on Ha'ara, which is strange because the act, I mean, that's like saying, how do you define kesef? Do you define kesef by a pruta, or define kesef by a dinner? How do you find bia? Define bia by bia kedarka, bia shlo kedarka. But once you define it, it's defined. I mean, because it would be the same for taking a regular wife. You could take a regular woman with an act of bia that's shlo kedarka, with an act of bia that's Ha'ara. So why would that be a question before? Therefore, it's very unlikely that the words Ma'arev and Gomer are important here. What's important is Echad B'Shogeg, but Mezid, we'll call that a Bia Gru'a. It's a low-powered Bia. It's not a powered Bia. My Kana. And therefore, the Gemara says, when you say you were Kona, Kona in terms of what? Rav Amar Kona Lako. What do you mean? The Torah said, we darshan from that, arehi ki ishtola kol davar, completely married, whatever it is. This is a kinyan for all purposes. Can he be made for nedarim? Made for nedarim. If she dies, is he yorisher? Yes. If he's a kohen, he's a metamei to all of the dinim of yishut. Whereas Shmuel says, now wait a minute, this is a big finish, this issue, that you can take this woman without any kind of normal das for kinyan and so on. So therefore, you're limited to where the context limits it. And lo kana l'dvarim ha'amurim b'parasha, the issues that are mentioned in the parashat Yibum, where this chiddush is raised, that this is considered to be a kinyan. So, when it comes to lirash b'nechsei achiv, Torah says over there, yakum al-shem, he takes over the nachala. Fine. It's good enough to take over the nachala. It says, beit achiv, good enough to take over the bayit and therefore to part of the tzora. But that he should be yorisher, that he should be betami to her, he should be able to be machil or betruma, should be mefer in the dorim, mapitam. For that you need a normal kinyan. That you would need for him, I mean, obviously when he sleeps with her a second time, but the correct das to take her as his wife, Lefaldori would be kind of like any other wife. But over here, it's limited. The bia grua is limited to a special case of yavama until it becomes a bia gimura. Reb Barnea, I wonder if I could trouble you to take out some water from me. Thank you. So we have a very important machlokas here. According to Rav, she becomes his wife lechol davar, and according to Shmuel, lokana ela ledvarim hamurim b'parasha. So what does that mean? Lirash b'nechsei achiv l'potra min ha'yibum. Now, min ha'nisuim, if we're talking about over here, a woman who fell to yibum from a man who was fully married to her, had taken her to a chuppah. So she was originally eating betruma for her baal harishon. So now when the Yavama gets Eryibum with the Biagrua, if he takes the place of the Baal, even Shmuel would be Moda, that a given in the parasha is that the man stands in locum ba'ala. So whatever she was there, she is now. If she was eating truma, she continues to eat truma. And so on. That's not the issue. The only question was, now, of course, this means also vis-a-vis the other dinim, Yerush, and so on. As Tosis points out, the only reason we're taking as an example over here of Achila Betruma specifically is because Achila Betruma is the most difficult thing to assert that she's a complete wife, because we find in Ketuvot that there are cases where there would be Afarat and Darim, there would be Yerusha, there would be Tumala if he's a Kohen, but not Achila Betruma. So of cases of Mesirat, Shulchei Av, Shulchei Abal. So we take an extreme case. This is the extreme case. But even the extreme case of Achila Betruma, if she had been eating Truma before, she continues to eat Truma now. So that's for sure. Dal Rabbi Rachman, in this case, it's complete. She was there before, she continues to eat it now. Ki pligi mina eris. So the question is she now more fully married than she was originally? So Rav says, look, she's his wife, completely ochelet, she eats. So Rabbi Rach, what about Shoki Kamesa? The Torah says there's no difference when it comes to Yibam. That she becomes now his wife, li'isha, so she's him, she's his. It happens to be, this is the strange kinyan that is done by Yibam, but once the kinyan is done, it's effective like any other kinyan. Say it's a pretty weird kinyan to stand on your head and spit wooden nickels. But if that's the kinyan, then that's the kinyan. So therefore, how can you make a distinction between one and the other? Whereas Shmuel says, well, Rabbi Rachmana look me b'mokam ba'al. Wait. The Torah indeed says li'isha. But li'isha means the woman that she was. A wife that she was. So in other words, he takes the place of the Baal to be the husband that was. If the husband that was didn't give truma, so he doesn't get stronger than the husband that was until he does the normal kinyan that the husband that was would have had to do in order to achieve the same thing. If the original Baal would have had to do a normal bia in order to create now the state of an issuing that would be makula betruma. So does he. I mean, the Torah is not saying that he could suddenly become la'alume be Baal, to become even stronger the Baal. Where does it say that? Lo, that not. And this is Shmuel Ataymi. Does the Shmuel Ataymi? The Yomar Shmuel, we know that Shmuel here is going l'shitato, because as Shmuel pointed out elsewhere, Shmuel was quoted by Rav Nachman as saying that if the husband, the original husband, wasn't Machil Betruma, so then the Yavam is also not Machil Betruma, and thus, of course, he takes the relationship further through a full kinyan. Asks the Gemara on Shmuel, Mesve, Bat Yisrael Pikachach, and Nitarsal HaKohen Pikeach. We have a very similar case where there is, very interesting, not because of erusin, but because of problems in the da'at of the Baal, we have a situation where we have two normal people. They get married by erusin, kiddushin alone. Now what happens is that the husband loses his ability to speak, to hear. He has a stroke before he's able to be nosa. So that means that after he takes her, he's in the curious position of a Yavam, essentially, who is taking with a kinyan that wouldn't elsewhere work. Because normally a cherish would never be able to be maitzan a full kinyan. So if he's a Kohen and he's taking a Bas Yisrael, he can't make her be over in Yisrael Raisa to be mach or truma, because we're going to be geyser or kedusha for a cherish to make life easy for him. So therefore, if he had taken her only as a cherish, so he wasn't makil her betruma yet, and now before he gets a chance to marry her under the chuppah, he becomes a cherish. Now he doesn't have the das to achieve a full kinyan. So then she remains asura, in our Chelek. She doesn't eat Truma. Mate, now here's the case, which is exactly like we have over here. Mate, he dies. And now she falls to a Yovam who is a Cheresh. Aha! So here it says that the Yovam who is a Cheresh is no different than a Yovam who has no intent to be Baal for purposes of Kinyanim. So in the same way that a Yovam can be an Ones, and he could still be Kona. So he could be a Cheresh and still be Kona. Now, according to Shmuel, if he's Kona as an Ones, because the Torah says specially this new Riboy for Yavama, he's not able to be Marko Betruma. So why does it say that when he's Kenes as a Cheresh, which is the same as being Kenes Barinas, so to speak, that he is Marko Betruma? So this shows that Shmuel is wrong. We see, and it says Beferish, Ubezo, Yafek Koach HaYavam Mikoach HaBaal. The Yavam has more power to him than the Baal does, because the Baal is limited by his limited das, whereas the Yavam is utilizing the Torah's kinyan for the Yavama, and therefore doesn't require the das, or achieves more with his Biagrua than the Cheresh does with his Biagrua, because of the fact that he's a Cheresh. We all on the same page here.
It's a little bit confusing because we had this previously that Bia was so much more than Mahmar and all these. I mean, the Mahmar was more of a Kenyan in that sense? I mean,
no. It's a Kenyan de Rabona when it comes to Yavama. So Bezu Yafakayacha Yavam Bikachaba. So Bishlam el Rav, according to Rav, this works out just fine because according to Rav, she's Ishtola called Davar. There's no problem. But according to Shmuel says you're limited to never being more than the Baal. Here it says, you can't say more clearly. Here the Yavam is more powerful than the Baal. And what more do you want? Amar lecha Shmuel, you're right. If the Girsa that you just told me was correct, I'm dead in the water. But it's wrong. What it should say, it's actually Chesuri Mecharsa. What it should say is as follows. Emahachi. If Eloi speak lekonsa ach nitcharesh. Okay, he didn't get a chance to take it to the chuppah until now. He lost his dad. So then, indeed, ena ochelat b'truma. Now add in this little piece. Kanas, if he did take it to the chuppah, and then he became a cheresh, then she continues to eat ochelat. If at that point he dies, mate v'nafla lefnei yavam cheresh, and now she falls to his brother who is also a cheresh, she also eats. Nusio says, so what do you mean? So then he's not stronger than the Baal. Why are you saying Bezo Yofekecha Yamamikecha Baal? All he's doing is taking over the position of the Baal, which we said Shmuel held up anyway all the time. I mean, there's no problem with that. But the language doesn't make sense. Umay Bezu. Bezu means like this. A Baal who was a Cheresh Mi'ikara. He was always a Cheresh before he took her. He would never have been able to achieve her ability to eat. Basheke, the Yavam, even though he begins as a Cheresh, is able to take over the position of the Baal, and she continues to eat. So in that sense, in that small sense, he's more powerful than the Baal, because he's coming to stand in the Baal's place. According to Shmuel, look, that's the most you could say. I mean, it's not all that persuasive, but it works. It is no longer a problem. So that's what it means. If Achakach, Kanas v'charkach nitcharesh ochelet, and then mate v'nafu l'fnei yavam cheresh ochelet. What is the meaning of my quote bezo unquote etc. bezo etc. unquote? The ilu baal cheresh mi'kara lo ochelet. Had the baal been a cheresh before he ever took her, she would never have been able to eat truma. Whereas a yavam who is even a cheresh mi'kara, she is ochla. Okay, that is one way of understanding the machlokas Rav and Shmuel that we're talking about. That min. Minhan is suing, everybody would be made. All Shmuel is saying is you can't be stronger than a Baal. Now there's another way. Ikidiam, there's another lashon in the machlokas of Rav and Shmuel. And it goes like this. Ikidiam, not just the opposite. Mina erisin, diriyako lo achla. Actually, even Rav would be moda that when it comes to erisin, she does not eat. Now that's not because it's not the Ramban explains this is basically a gezera, really, because let's just think for a moment. The truth is midiraisa, erisin is sufficient to be ma'asal b'shul. So I mean, this whole discussion is really a little bit, taking a little bit for granted here. Really, Midyaraisa, you should be able to eat right away, Neiris. Why do we say no? Because of a gezeira that since during the period of Erisin, she's living at home. And while she's living at home, she's got a lot of siblings usually. So if she's going to keep a bottle of Truma Coca-Cola in the fridge, likelihood is that her siblings are going to drink her Coke. And then they'll be over on an Issa D'Oraisa, a Chiyuv Misa, drinking Coca-Cola of Truma. Not that there's really such a thing. We'll talk about wine.
It was Pepsi.
We don't want to. No. So if you've got, therefore, an Nisuin, so Nisuin, by definition, she's out of the house. If she's out of the house, we really shouldn't have a Gezeira. So the whole thing, anyway, over here is really, as we'll see, really involves gzeiras that we don't want you to mistake the nisuin of a cherish for an eretzin of a cherish, to think that he can achieve really dinim had he been a cherish milachatchila. That's where it all starts from. Okay. The same thing is true over here when it comes to the case of eretzin. Rav is made of, we don't want to get into issues of possible to be machshel somebody. So over there, if she hadn't been eating before, we don't want it to be confused with achila afterwards, that on the same level.
So there's... And she's eating truma at home with that statement, she got engaged to another
person. We'll be getting to that. But, you know, it's not, we'll get to it soon. So divrei hakol lo achla, delo achla b'chayibal. In that case, she didn't eat. Ki pligim in anisuin. So the question is, okay, after anisuin, what's the din? So Rav says, okay, after Nisuin, she continues to eat, she falls from Nisuin to Yibum, so why shouldn't she eat? She was eating before, she continues to eat now. Here is a tremendous chiddush. Shmuel says, no. She can't even continue to eat, because she isn't fully married to a kohen. Ki Rabbi Rachmana biyat shoge kemeizei v'dvarim ha'amurim b'parasha. Where did the Torah say that she is viewed as an actual nisuah to this guy, only to those things that are mentioned in the parasha, that he should be able to inherit the brother, and that the she paters the tzora. Bavala kol mili lo, what are we going to call her? The wife of a kohen? She's not the wife of a kohen. She's the equivalent of like an arusa to a kohen. We don't want, therefore, to confuse the issues. She wasn't eating, or she was eating, is not the issue. Is she nesua or not? That's the issue. A bia gerua does not create a real relationship other than to the things that are mentioned with Farish in the parsha. Asks the Gemara, if Amar of Nachman, Shmuel himself said, before we said this is Shmuel the Taita, now it becomes a contradiction in Shmuel, in this Lasha. Wasn't Shmuel reported by Rav Nachman as having said that kosha abal machil yavam machil? That if she was eating while she was under her husband, that now the Yavam also gives her? Now we're saying that's not true. And now we'll have to change Rav Nachman also. Ema will have to say like this, called biyash abal machil ba. Any type of intercourse that would have served as a kinyan for the husband, perhaps dafka after nisuin, I mean, that's a different issue. But because it's a shiloh where the bia creates a state of nisuin, it creates a state of eris, it does, it's okay, so according to that, she to throw in the words after nisuin. But the point is, any normal kinyan that would have been sufficient for the original husband to give her truma, that the Yavam can also give her truma. But the Yavam cannot use a unpowered bia, a bia gerua, to create a situation to feed her truma that the Baal would not have been able to use to feed her truma, despite the fact that she had already been eating truma before. So this is now a subtle but very important difference in how to read Rav Nachman's report of Shmuel. So ima kol biyash abal machil ba yavam machil ba. But since this is a bia gerua, kol biyash ein abal machil ba, the Baal would not have been able to use this type of bia gerua to feed her truma lechatchila. So therefore, when he dies, we don't simply continue the state of achilas truma. We need to create a new state of nisuin. And such a state is not achieved with a bia gerua. And even though she was eating before, she has to stop eating until he gets around to to actually consummating this marriage fully with full intent. Meisve. Now this kasha becomes devastating. The kasha we asked in the original lashon is now not answerable. So meisve. In this version, the kasha is a kasha both on Rav and Shmuel, because in this version, Rav Aaron, in this version, Rav also agrees that if she had been an arusa before, that we don't allow her to eat, because of whatever gezeiros that we put. But here it says Beferes not like that. Here it says Bat Yisrael pikachat shinita asala koin pikeach v'lo yispik lekon sadich charech eina ochelet made v'nafla lefne yavam cheresh ken ochelet. Rav said that that's not true. Rav said, I agree that when it comes to Truma, that's the one thing that we're not going to say she could do now better than she did before. And here it says, before she can do better. So what we're going to have to do for Rav is what we did for Shmuel before. And we're going to have to say the Brayta here is missing a piece. Stick in the words, but if he had already achieved Nisuin, and then he died, and she falls to a cherish, then she's able to eat, because she was eating before. And the same thing we said before, so what does it mean? It means that the Baal, had he been in a state of chareshut l'chatchila, would not have been ma'achal, but the Yavam is. Okay, good. Well, we'll treat Rav the way we treated Shmuel. But for Shmuel, we have no solution. Because what are we going to say? If she had been eating before as the wife of the Cheresh, she could continue to eat now because the Cheresh had been miyabing her. Shmuel says the Cheresh, that's not true. You cannot achieve a v'achalat truma, a matzav of v'achalat truma, by a biagrua. I don't care what she was doing before, according to this lashon. So if that's the case, this is now devastating to Shmuel. So bishleim l'rav v'tarets k'tarets b'ikora. We can do for Rav what we did for Shmuel in the previous lashon. Ela Shmuel, kasha. We have no way out of this, according to Shmuel. Kasha, you're right. No way out. Tanu Rabbanan. Rav Aaron, I think we're going to have to make a change in your diet. You seem to be suffering. Of course, anybody who traveled in a bus to Yerushalayim from Telstone at 110 degrees would probably... Hitchhiked. Then even 90 degrees would have done it.
Living
in Telstone would have done it. Amen. Oh, yes. Very good. Tanu Rabbanan. Bat Yisrael pikachat, shenitasa lekoyin pikeach, v'lo yispik lekoyin sadich ad shenitcharesh, ein ochelet. Okay, we saw this first part. If there had been an erusin without a nisuin, she cannot eat truma. But no ladla bein ochelet. If now she has a child, since the Torah says yelid beito heim yochlu belachmo vidash, that means heim yaakilu belachmo, that a woman who has a child from a kohen, even if her husband would die and she's no longer kinyan kaspo, she's a Yisraelit, but she has a child, that child is a kohen, and that child kohen is Ma'achil, his mother, Truma, interestingly. So once she has a ben, the ben speaks louder than the Kenyan, which was poor, of a Cheresh. So now the ben is Ma'achil, the mother. Meit ha-ben, when the son dies, Rabbi Natan Omer, she continues to eat. Now that's strange. Why would she continue to eat? Ochelet. V'chachamim omrim eina ochelet. Now, can you explain Rabbi Natan? My time in Rabbi Natan? Omar Rabba, look, I mean, basically Rabbi Natan is saying, oh, ir shekvar achla. I mean, she was eating before, so let her keep eating. Again, remember that Minyaraisa, she had the right to eat. Because over here, she was nitarsa. Okay, so she could have eaten even before the son was born. I don't understand what you're talking about. A Bas Yisrael that was married to a Kohen. Forget about the son. Let's say she's completely married, no problems with Cheresh. The husband dies, so why don't we say she could keep eating? What does that mean? She can't keep eating. Let's say Techol Shekvar Achla. Obviously not. Kivan Demitlei. I mean, if he's dead, Pakalei Kedushatei Mina. So now she's no longer married to him. He's not Kinyan Kaspar of a Kohen. It's and there's no over here Yalit Beito. So Hachinamik, even the mitle, paka gerushat emin ha'ari, how could you say such a crazy thing? What do you mean? The son died, let her eat because she wants it. She's a surah to eat. How could that be what Rabbi Natan is saying? Elam, Rabbi Yosef, you know, what Rabbi Natan is saying is, look, he's not arguing about the son. He's talking about the marriage. That's the point. Because so Rabbi Natan holds that the nisuim of a cheresh are machil and betruma. Because really, the erisin was machil betruma, and he was ma'ariser when he was not a cheresh. So now, what's the problem? The problem is the coke in the fridge. Okay, but once she moves out of the house, and she moves in with the cheresh, she's like, oh. So she's moving in, so they're living together, but minyaraisa, they're not married. Who cares? Minyaraisa, they're married in terms of erisin. We don't need more than that to be machil betruma. Why should we gaze at the problem of coke in a fridge when she's not with her siblings? So what are you going to say? Well, because if you say that the nisuin of a cherish is good enough, people will think the erisin of a cherish is good. And wouldn't it? It's only good over here because he wasn't a cherish at the time. Rabbi Nashik says, I'm not concerned about that. Lo gazrinan nisuin cherish ato kiddushin cherish. People are not going to get mixed up from that. They understand the logic over here, that at least there needed to be one stage in the relationship that midiraisa would be machil betruma. That was clear. So basically, that's what Rabbi Natan was saying. The husband is alive. Therefore, she's eating truma. So the son dies. What's the difference? She keeps eating truma. I'm going to buy it. So what's the son have to do with the price of eggs in China? What are you talking about a son? You're telling me, according to Rabbi Natan, she would have been able to eat as soon as there was this soy cherish. So then don't talk about the son. What are you saying? And even if the son dies, she eats. The son is irrelevant. She's eating because she's married to the cherish and had initially he had not been a cherish and there was a good marriage. So what's the problem? Why are you talking about no lad la ben? What's all of that about? Lamali. No, that part is mishum rabbonim. That part is coming to tell me that even the Rabban and her Maida, that if she has a son, she can eat. But according to Rabbi Nassan, she would be able to eat without the son. So then I don't understand. So then Reliflag Rabbi Natan Alayabaresha. Why didn't Rabbi Natan argue right off in the beginning? The beginning was that if he became a cherish before he was able to be machnisir to the chuppah, einal chelet. So it should have said right there, Rabbi Natan omer chelet, before we got to the ben part. Now that's because Rabbi Natan is polite. I mean, Shavak Lul Rabbanan Adam is Simon Miltai. He waits until the Rabbanan conclude what they're saying. She can't eat, but if there was a son, she could eat. And then if the son died, she can eat again. Comes on Rabbi Natan to say, no, she can't.
The son died.
The son is irrelevant according to Rabbi Natan. The father's alive. The husband's alive. So he was just waiting until the Rabbanan finished. Vahara Palagalaya, then he argues. No, come on. So then it should have said, Meit Habein Eina Ochelet, and Rabbi Natan Omer Ochelet. Instead, what does it say? It says, Nolad Habein Ochelet, Meit Habein Rabbi Natan Omer Ochelet. It should have finished. You're telling me. He was being polite, waiting for the Chacham. Fine, so then it should have said, Meit Habein Eina Ochelet. Now we finish the Chachamim. Comes along Rabbi Natan to say, no, the whole time Ochelet. None of this is relevant. Instead it says, Meit Habein Rabbi Natan Omer Ochelet. And then the Rabbanim come along and say, Eina Ochelet. So the Mashmahut again is has something to do with the son, even according to Rabbi Natan. But that's weird. How do you explain that? Kasha, I don't know how to explain that. That's a problem. I don't quite know how to explain that. Okay, continues the Mishnah now. V'chein. And so too would be the case in all of the above types of biot, where someone was ba'al achat mikola arayot. Now, what is the v'chein referring to? And so. Now, and so means, we're taking first our model. The model is the case of Yibum, right? And we're saying v'chein, and this model would apply as well to the arayas. The first thing that strikes you as being weird about that is that actually the variations in type of biot are not learned from Yibam to Arayas, they're learned from Arayas to Yibam. What was the whole Makor of the idea of Hahara? We learned that out from Et Mekorah Era, which we learned out from Rabbi Yonah, that it applies to all of the Arayot. And then we compared Yibam to the Arayot, and not vice versa. That was Hahara. How do we know Bia Shalokadarka is a Bia? We know that from the Arayot, the Mishkebe Yisha. We don't know that from Yibam. We learn out Yibam from Erevah. So the whole Mishnah is messed up. Because the Mishnah seems to be taking Yibam as the model, then applying this model to other things. But Yibam's not the model. Yibam was like a way off to the side outgrowth of the Din of Erevah, not vice versa. So the truth is that that's the fundamental issue that the Gemara is coming to discuss. As the Gemara usually does, it doesn't talk openly about the fundamental issue. It starts with something that enables you to grasp the implications of the construct as we have it here. So too we begin here by saying, Amar Rabban, Om Milta Amalan Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes taught us something, which I'll tell you in a minute. And he literally enlightened us from the Mishnah. Because I never would have seen this myself in the Mishnah, and he pointed it out, and it's brilliant, because there's no other way to understand the Vakain in the Mishnah. He said like this. He said a tremendous finish. What's the din of a woman who is raped? Let's first review the halachas. A married woman who is raped, if she's married to a Kohen, so then she's asura to the Kohen. If she's married to a Yisrael, there's no problem. Because it says in the Torah that it's only v'hi lo nitvas, and she hadn't been manhandled, wasn't grabbed. But if she had been nitvasa, then none of this applies. No problem, right? Okay. How about if her husband, the Yisrael, dies, and now she wants to marry a Kohen? Now, that's an interesting question. Because the fact is that she did have a sexual relationship with someone, which to a Kohen would have passed her, but didn't pass her to a Yisrael. So, do we now view her as being a Surtur Kohen? Or do we say, since the Torah said vis-a-vis her husband it was meaningless, so now, how does it suddenly become meaningful to the Kohen? Rav Sheshes taught us that an Eshet Yisrael shenensa, that if a wife of a Yisrael was raped, apa pishu muteret labala, although there's no problem in her relationship with her husband, nonetheless, if her husband dies, she's always psula lakuna. And he showed us brilliantly that that's what our Mishnah is saying. Vitana tuna. And he learned it right here from our Tana. Tuna does not refer to a diet. It refers, Sally Charlie, it refers to the same way that you would say in Aramaic, you would say our father is Abuna. You would say our brother is Akuna. You say our Tana is a tuna. There you go. So, therefore, our Tuna said, right here in the Mishnah, this halacha. Wow, that's unbelievable. I don't see anything about that. Ha ha! Look at what a word can mean when you have the eyes to see it. It says, V'chein habal akat mi'arayot amorot batorah upsulot. Okay, I want you to tell me what that word V'chein means. I dare you. Go ahead. I mean, I say, look, it cannot be referring to the type of beer. Because Yibum is not a model for types of bias. What is Yibum a model for, huh? It's a model for a type of intent. That indeed, we never find anywhere else. Look, when it comes to Arias, intent is irrelevant. All that counts is the act. Intent is relevant to your punishment, your culpability, but it has nothing to do with the act of Arias. The act of Arias is whatever defines a bias. Now we'll decide, you're culpable, you're shogeg, you bring a chatas, you chayav visa, you chayav koras, you put, whatever. But your intent has nothing to do with Erevah. So how the heck can a Mishnah say, you've got what appears to be an impossible situation. You say v'chein, V'chein can't be referring to the act, because the act is defined in Erva, not in Yiva. So how could Yiva be the model for Erva? But on the other hand, if you say V'chein and it's referring to the one thing that it could be a model of, it's irrelevant to the Arayas. Because who cares when it comes to an Erva? Who cares what your intent is? There's only one place where it makes a difference what your intent is. Rape. Sleeping as a married woman with someone else. If it was Ba'ones, then it's okay. If it was, however, Mesida, then it's not okay, and she becomes Asura. Ha ha! Says Rav Sheshet. So V'chein refers to that case. Now, where is it possible to be referring to? I mean, obviously, it's a fair shaposik. I mean, a woman has an intent to sleep with somebody else, but if she doesn't have the intent, it's just the opposite, but she's not considered to be Asura. This is the only case. Brilliant. She is, in fact, as far as the immediate situation is concerned, she is not only Petura, she's Muteras to her husband, but nonetheless, she is V'chein HaTomer B'chol HaRayot, including Eshes Ish. Is that an Erva? Yeah. So, Kol HaRayot SheBetorah, she is considered to be Nifselet through a Bia of any type. Bein B'shogeg, Bein Be'ones. Why not? Because I would have thought if she's Muteres to her husband, there's no problem. Comes along the Mishnah to say, V'chein HaTomer, even a Bas Yisrael that was Nivela Bein Be'ones, she's still considered to be Asur. Okay, so that's the V'chein. It's amazing. It's brilliant. So, my V'chein, what therefore could this V'chein mean? So, my love, it's got to be going on Loshna B'shogeg, Loshna B'mezid, Loshna B'onesh, Loshna B'ratzon. Ha! And it says Pasla! So, Pasla means she can't marry a Kohen. There you go. Is that called enlightenment or not? That's on Hero A9.
Regardless of the circumstances.
Exactly. Can marry a Kohen?
Rabbi, no. Even if she wanted to, she wasn't a shame of a zona. She even the singular.
She can't. She is a zona, even if she didn't want. Yeah, one beer. Yeah.
No.
Because there's no other explanation. It can't be referring to the type. It can only be referring to the thought. Says the word no. It's referring to the... that's crazy. It's got to be referring to the type. It's got to be referring to the mode of being. No, my v'chein ha'ara. No way. Excuse me. Ha'ara daman. Which case? Of the Arayas? Are you trying to tell me that we learn out Arayas from Yibam? On the contrary, we learn out Yibam from Arayas. You can't use Yibam as the model for Arayas, dear sir. So ha'ara daman. Elema da'arayot, what? You're trying to tell me da'arayot yalfim yavama adaraba. Yavama yalfinam arayas. You can't set up a yavam and then say, oh, and the same thing would be true. For heaven's sakes, it's exact opposite. Set up the yavam and then tell me the exact thing is true about the yavam. So it can't be referring to ara. Sorry. Okay. Maybe it's referring to shaloka darka. Right? Velo chilek ben bia labia. Rabbanea, you're not wearing your sunglasses.
Which you probably forgot.
No, siree. Shalom kedarka varayas adarab. Where do we know that shalom kedarka is considered to be bia? Huh? Tell me. From where? Go ahead. Tell me. Somebody tell me. From where in arayas? Mishkevei isha means anyway. Mishkevei isha anyway. Right. So that means that. If anything, it's arayot that are the model for the yibum, not the yibum that's the model for arayot. Oof. I got another way. Maybe the meaning of a chain is referring to the lo kedarka of the chayvei elavi. Mishkevei isha. Now let's think about this. Mishkevei isha is said by the arayot, referring over there to mishkav zachur. Obviously, it's got to be Mishkevei Isha, because there's no other way to do it. So therefore, we know that there must be other ways of sleeping with a woman as well. Now, we know that that is true on all of the cases. This is the way Tosfos learned. We know that all of the cases, including even the case of kahuna, of Yisuri Kuna. Rashi learns it's going on the Yisuri Kuna. But Tosfos learns, look, ultimately, even the Yisuri Kuna are learned from the Hekesh of Kicha Kicha. Lo Yikachu. That means we learn them out directly from the Arayat, Ishki Yikach. So therefore, that couldn't be what it's referring to. It's got to be referring, says Tosfos, as opposed to Rashi, Dafka on the non-Kuhuna Chayvei Lavi. Because those we learned out not from Lo Yikachu by the Grusha and the Zonah, that we learned out from the Lashon of Lo Yavo Bekahal Bia. And there we learned it out from the Bia of Yavama. So we learned it out via Bia and Yavama, we said, right? There, indeed, Yavama is the model. That's the only place where Yavama is the model. The Chayvei Lavin that are not learned out Kicha Kicha from Arayas, but are learned out Bia Bia from Yavama. Those cases, indeed, we have a model of the Yavama. Tosfos says, even though Rashi is correct in saying, in a sense, that we didn't learn the Chayvei Lavin, we don't learn directly, but from Arayas, and here it says me Arayas, but we do learn it Kicha Kicha from Arayas. For all intents and purposes, we're learning it from Arayas. So therefore, we need to find the one case that the Vachain could be referring to. Now, you certainly can see why this is a really difficult way of explaining the Mishnah. Right? But the truth is, no matter how you look at it, the Mishnah presents us with something of a conundrum. And how are we using Yibum? This touches the very underlying pattern of the Masechta, the relationship of Yibum and Arayas. But how could we set up Yibum as the model for anything but intent issues? So the fact is that chiddush, according to Reb Sheshes, was indeed a chiddush in terms of psul. The Rabbanan say, look, there's even an area in which we use Yibum as a model for what the act of Bia consists of. Also, when it comes to psul. So, I mean, both of us have a very limited sense of what the chiddush of the Mishnah is and where the model has its power. But the fact is that it is not necessary to limit the Mishnah to Davka v'shogeg meisid on his rotsman to say v'chein. You can say v'chein is going on the lo chilek min bia l'bia v'chein at ha'omer. You see. Okay. So again, our Mishnah, gentlemen, it's so much fun. Our Mishnah now is becoming clearer and clearer. We see the two elements now, the two types of issues that need to be addressed. We see how it addresses it differently in terms of the impact on the woman, the nifselet versus the iser of the act, which was the question of the rape or the question of the erev and so on. It's beautiful. Yeah? We took something that looked like this amorphous a little toy, and it turns out that every word now is clearly organized and teaches us very important things.
Intent
is unimportant. Exactly. So where would intent be important or unimportant when it's by the Arayas? The Eshes Ish. Okay. Omar Rab. Eshes Kohen Shenen Sa'a Ba'ala Loka Alea Mishum Zona. Forgetting about the issue we talked about earlier. Okay. We talked about an Eshes Yisrael. But the question is this. The woman is raped. The Torah says, Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon lashuk. Guys, please let me have 5 minutes of your concentrated effort so that the fundamental ideas are given across. Normally, when we have an iser of a sota, or an iser of any woman who sleeps with another guy, sota in the general sense means that. It doesn't mean the guy, kinu istir, or those who special halachas. But I would say, we have an iser that really appears in the parsha, we saw this way earlier in Masechta, really appears in the parsha of someone who divorces his wife. She sleeps with someone else and takes her back. So it says over there, Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon ashur lakachta, acharei asher hutama. The lashon hutama is a reference to the sugya of sota as well, where it uses the same word, v'hi nitma'a. Okay? So from there we see that any sota, forget about gerishin, Any sota has an isra b'acharei asher hutama. He's not allowed to sleep with her. That's a given. We also learn out that that does not apply in cases of rape. We learn that out for the special word v'gi lo nitfas. Okay. So if it would be ha nitfas, had she been grabbed, then this wouldn't apply. Then she would be mutar. That's one sugya. We have another sugya called the sugya of a kohen, who that doesn't apply to. Why doesn't that apply to? Because the word he lo nitfasa means she, but not someone else. Who's the she and not someone else? Not in the case where she's married to a kohen. Fine. So that means the lo nitfasa doesn't apply to the kohen. The kohen is stuck. Whether she is nitfasa, not nitfasa, she's always not allowed to sleep with her husband again. Besides that, there's another problem. A kohen is not allowed to marry a zonah. Usually a zonah is defined as the word. The word means, lezanot means to turn aside from a relationship. Right? Like we use for avodah zarah, the same thing. Asher atem zonim afreyam. You have a relationship with me, you're going now and turning aside from that relationship. Yeah, but that's the same, that's the source of zonot, is to follow your heart away. Okay?
A single girl.
No. That's a machlokes, because there is one shita that says a single girl can be a zona just by sleeping around. We don't pass them like that. Znut does not mean sleeping around. Znut means violating a relationship of some kind. Either an incest that defines certain boundaries. It means violation of boundaries. To sleep with an unmarried woman doesn't violate boundaries. That's what women are for. But the question is, it may not be Mekudesha, but it's not snus.
Someone she can't marry, though.
Someone she can't marry is violation of boundaries. So snus is not the way we pass it. There is one sheet that says even a pnuya, panuya, bala pnuya, pasla, nakuna, fine. But that's not the way we pass it. So now, getting back now to our sugya. What is the relationship of a yilo nitfasa to the concept of snus? Is znus a function of will and desire, or is znus a function of events that happen? So if the Torah says that she's muteris to Yisrael, that doesn't necessarily mean she's not a zonah. Because, I mean, after all, Rav Sheish has just claimed that she is a zonah. I mean, it's a terrible thing to call a woman that's because of our English, basically, we're prejudiced. That the word zonah means a whore of some kind. I mean, obviously, that's not what it means over here. Poor woman is raped. It would be horrible to say such a thing. All that it means is that she has a status of a woman whose boundaries were violated. So a kohen is not allowed to live with a woman whose boundaries were violated. That's all.
Her intent notwithstanding.
Her intent notwithstanding. That was the way Rav Sheish looked at it. The way Rava, really should be Rava, because it's discussed here between Rav Zera. The Chavrusa of Rava is not Reb Zera. The Chavrusa of Rava was Reb Zera. So therefore, the Ayavitz changes this year to Rava throughout the sugya, as we'll see, because it's all discussed with Reb Zera. So therefore, says Rava, look, let's forget right now about that case, about the issue of Reb Sheshes. Let's first talk about the Kohen himself. If the Kohen continues to live with the woman that was raped, his wife, he's going to be over on not only, as we'll see, he means to say, not only on the acharei asher hutama lo yuchal ba'ala, but also on this question of her being a zonah, because the zonah has nothing to do. And over here, for sure, the Torah ushered her. So why wouldn't she be a zonah? I'm not coming to discuss openly the din of Rav Sheshes. That's taking it one step further. All right. So, but what I am saying is that she is certainly a zonah. A zonah. Why only a zonah? Mishum zonah in mishum tum alo. What happened to the other iser? Lo yuchal ba'ala rishon mishum lekakta acharei asher hutama. Over here, she was hutama, and we don't have the hilon itfasa. Ema af mishum zonah. I don't mean. I'm coming to talk about the thing that you don't think about. Okay, we all know about acharei asher hutama, but you would have thought she's not a zonah because she didn't have intent for znus. That's irrelevant. She still had engaged, willingly or not so, in a Iser Arayot, and therefore she becomes a Zona. Masi for Abizera. Abizera says, wait a second now. The Yilon Nitfasa, let's get back to how the whole thing applies to a Kohen, okay? Yilon Nitfasa Asura. The Torah says, if she wasn't grabbed from behind, she's Asura. If she was, then she's Muteret. Ha Nitfasa Muteret. But Yilon Nitfasa, meaning, Yesh Lecha Acheret, Shava Pishin Nitfasa Asura. Anybody who is not a Kohen, this is includes, but he comes telling me there is someone that even if she was Nitfasa, she would be Asura, the Ezozo. Who's that referring to? That's referring to an Ezozo Kohen. Okay, but what does that leave us with? That leaves us with a Lava B'Mechlal Asay, right? That's all it is. So why do you say she would get Malkus for Tuma? Well, I don't get that business at all. That's not even true. It's only a lava b'meklal asay. Omar Rabba, no siri. You're misunderstanding this. It's not a diyuk in the Yilo Nitfasa Asura, this Asura being now an implication of the Yilo Nitfasa Muteret. Right? No, sir. Here's how to look at it. We start from the beginning. Hakol ayu b'chlal zona. All right? We start from the beginning about the Yisr Zona. Now, Kishipiret Lecha Katuv Gabi Eshet Yisroel V'Yilo Nitvasa Asro Nitvasa Muteres. That implies B'Klal De'Eshet Kohen Kide Kaima Kaima. That implies that she remains Asura the way she always was. With the Yisroel were being matir her, were not being matir her. That's the point. So the issue of years, we're left with the original. There's no difference between Nitfasa and Lo Nitfasa. There's only a difference by an Eishes Yisrael, not by an Eishes Kohen. And therefore, I'm saying that she is considered to be included in both Yisurim. The only thing is that the Torah took out Eishes Yisrael Anusa from the Yisra of the Tuma. Eishes Kohen was left in the Yisra. So that's all I'm saying. Igri Amri, now others say that Rabbah said it different. That Omar Rabbah, Eshet Kohen, Shin Ne'ensa, Ba'ala Lokeala Mishum Tum'ah. What it said was, the husband is Ne'enash because of Tuma. Mishum Tum'ahim, Mishum Zona Lo. And in fact, that what Rabbah was saying is to argue now, on Rav Sheshes, that a woman who did not have an intent for Znus cannot be called a zona. Alma ba'onis lo karina be'zona. The meaning of zona is itself a reference to her intent. She strayed away, is the meaning of zona. And over here she was raped. How can you call her a zona? Therefore, he's fundamentally arguing on Rav Sheshes. He's saying even vis-a-vis her own husband, she's not a zona. Kol shekein in a case where she was married to a Yisrael, and there was no Yisrael at all, and now the guy dies, there's no Isra of her on the coin. That's for sure. Masiv Rabbi Zera, so Rabbi Zera says, but doesn't it say, V'ilo nitvasa asura, ha nitvasa muteret, and the he tells us, yesh lecha acheret, sha'afa pisha nitvasa asura, v'ezu zu, zu eshet kohen, so that we have over here now, an Isra only of lava b'mechlal asay, is Asay. So why are you saying that she should get Malkus? If he's not getting Malkus because of Zonah, how can he get Malkus because of Tumah? Tumah is only an Isra Asay. It's learned out of the words, the Diyah, the Yilo Nitvasa Muteret. Ha'akeret Asura. But that's only an Isra Asay. And in this, Amar Rabbah, Ha'kola yu b'klal achrei asher utamah, of an Isra Lav, lo yuchah ba'al ha'rishon l'shuv ha'kakta. Kishipiret lecha katuv gabi eshet Yisrael v'hilo nitvasa asura nitvasa muteret, but the eshet kohen is left where it was k'dekaima kaima. If she was asura before, she would have been asura to her husband Yisrael with what? An Yisrael, not an Yisrael, say. So too she remains asura on the eshet kohen. Okay, I cannot fight the obvious sandman. So I suppose we'll wait for tomorrow. right?